This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Let's talk about these cabinet picks, the good and the bad. Sarah Gonzalez joins us. Big changes coming to the military. Fingers crossed for that. All that and more coming up tonight on I'm Right. Okay, so the cabinet is filling up. You see what I just did? No, I'm talking about Donald Trump's cabinet. Donald Trump is picking his people, and it's mostly done, not completely. I realize we're still waiting on one or two big doozies, FBI and whatnot, but it's filling up. And first, let's lead with this, because it's not all going to be sunshine and roses. It's not all going to be compliments. This cabinet, as it sits right now, is light years better than the last group of morons Donald Trump selected to surround him in the White House. Donald Trump very clearly learned his lesson. Very clearly, he's done a lot more vetting. And these picks, many of them are outstanding. Some of them are putrid. But for the most part, they go from very good to not the worst, kind of good. Whereas last time it was just moron, moron, moron. And we're sitting here pulling our hair out. Look what happened to my hair. That was like, no, I'm kidding. But seriously, it was awful last time. And this time it looks very good. So let's go over just some things we love, some things we don't. First and foremost, I know he didn't get through, but the selection of Matt Gaetz was an excellent pick. Yeah, he didn't get through because the Senate's a bunch of weenies. But what Matt Gaetz, the selection of Matt Gaetz, what it really showed was Donald Trump wants to reform things on the inside. This is the problem. So many of these GOP types, we've talked about this many times, they view their role as protecting the system, keeping everything as is. Well, he's not going to threaten the FBI, is he? But when you come out right out of the gates, and you pick Matt Gaetz to do AG, yes, he went down in flames, I got all that, but it shows you where Donald Trump's mentality is. The only reason you would choose Matt Gaetz is if you're going to get in there and try to mix things up inside the government. That's good. So Gaetz is gone, though. Let's set that aside. We'll get to his replacement in a minute. Pete Hegseth. Pete Hegseth, probably my favorite pick so far. Actually, between him and Tom Homan, my favorite pick so far. And again, why? It is not because I know Pete Hegseth a little. We're not best friends, but I do know him, and I like him, so I should be honest about my bias there. It's actually not that, though. I have plenty of friends I wouldn't want to be Secretary of Defense. I like the pick of Pete Hegseth because, again, it shows where Donald Trump's mentality is. Every other person, Democrat and Republican, they all get in there and they look around for some four-star general somewhere. Oh, I kind of like this guy. And then they go for political reasons, like Lloyd Austin was picked because he was black. So they'll find someone who has a high rank. And then for Democrats, you'll have to do the minority thing, whatever. Republicans are probably, well, she's a woman. You have to deal with that with all these morons. But Pete Hegseth shows, no. A completely different way of thinking. Totally different, radically different. What we've been doing doesn't work. You select somebody like this, you want to change things.
It is generals with stars on their shoulder who are cowards, who ultimately wouldn't stand up to the ideologies being rammed down the throats of our leadership. They never stood up and said, nope, hey, you know, women in combat's not going to work very well. They're not going to stand up and say, we're not going to do this trans stuff. They didn't stand up and say, hey, we don't need your CRT and DEI. It causes division inside our ranks. It only creates skepticism and animosity. And no one ever threw their stars on the table, said, we're not doing it. It's how the military allowed itself to go woke. You're right, because there were cowards in camouflage who wouldn't make tough calls or retire or call it out or resign and say, I'm not doing this. Because politicians are going to do what politicians do. We know what left-wingers do. They do crazy stuff. Just keep it out of our military where it's life or death. Because you're right. We all signed up. We get the uniform and the bad haircut. We know we're not in for paradise. We're in because we love the country. And a lot of vets, you know this. You talk to these guys. I talk to them, are questioning whether they would recommend it for their sons and their daughters in the future. And that's pretty understandable considering what folks have done to the military.
That's the way of thinking we need. As Pete Hegseth said, by the way, I'm not telling you any of these picks are going to get through. I already brought up Matt Gaetz right off the bat, who already didn't get through. This is not about what the Weenie Senate does or doesn't do. This is where Donald Trump's mind is, the kind of people he's picking. Pete Hegseth is an excellent pick. Now, speaking of Gates, we have a replacement, Pam Bondi. It was announced, of course, last week. Florida AG Pam Bondi. I do know some people now. I've been doing media for, what, 6 years now? So after this much time, I do know a lot of people in politics, and I certainly know a lot of people in Florida politics. I was not super familiar with Pam Bondi. I knew who she was, what she did, but I used the old phone machine. I made a lot of calls, I made a lot of texts, and pretty much universally, from the people who think like us, the anti-communists, universally, this is what I got. It's okay. It's not great. She's not going to go in and disrupt the system, but she's okay. So it's not what Gates would have been. MSNBC doesn't appear to like it.
Pam Bondi is exactly what I was saying in the last segment that we should all fear, because she's competent. We may not agree with her ideologically, but she actually knows how to do this job. So if anyone on the Democratic side or anyone who cared about liberty or justice was thinking, well, maybe Matt Gaetz will screw this up and that'll give us some time. No, Pam Bondi knows what she's doing. She knows what she's doing about immigration. Remember, Florida is one of those states that's been very aggressive about migrants and deportation and moving people to different states and everything else like that. Florida has enacted all sorts of rules and laws to curtail students and what they can do on campuses and finding legal justifications for manipulating education money. She is a dangerous and effective pick, and that's frankly worse than what we would have got with Matt Gaetz, even with the deplorable moral background that he has.
Okay, you hear MSNBC talk like that? Gives you a little bit of hope. Let's do a wait and see thing on Bondi, okay? So we had the good, the Hegseths, the Holmans, the Gaetz. We have the wait and see picks. Let's move on. Because I could, you know, in all fairness to Donald Trump, we should talk about Marty McCary, the selection for the head of the FDA. This guy selected for the head of the FDA combined with RFK Jr., head of HHS, very good thing.
The greatest perpetrator of misinformation during the pandemic has been the United States government. Misinformation that COVID was spread through surface transmission, that vaccinated immunity was far greater than natural immunity, that masks were effective. Now we have the definitive Cochrane review. Over and over again, we've seen something that goes far beyond using your best judgment with the information at hand. We've seen something which is unforgivable, and that is the weaponization of medical research itself. The CDC putting out their own shoddy studies, like their own study on natural immunity, looking at one state for 2 months, when they had data for years on all 50 states. Why did they only report that one sliver of data? Why did they salami slice the giant database? Because it gave them the result they wanted. Same with masking study. Well, the data has now caught up in giant systematic reviews, and the public health officials were intellectually dishonest. They lied to the American people. Thank you.
Wow. I'm ready to stand up and cheer. So again, there are some really, really good picks we can feel good about. And there's wait and see picks like Pam Bondi. And then there's some bad ones. Man, I don't know what you want me to say. There's some bad ones. And a lot of this probably comes back to Donald Trump and COVID, which, let's be honest, you're probably already wincing. That was the worst Donald Trump we've ever seen. We had a pretty good president for 3 years, deregulated the economy, secured the border, knocked things out. And then we got a chest cold from China. He lost his friggin' mind, handed the country to Fauci, and passed Operation Warp Speed, that disastrous piece of legislation that has poisoned the American people to and fro. Donald Trump still brags about Operation Warp Speed to this day. He just did so recently on social media. Bragged about his COVID response. To call this a blind spot would be very, very kind. But we're all hoping, because all these reformers and how he's come around on some things, we're hoping, you know, hey, maybe at least he's going to back off of some of the COVID insanity stuff that he still brags about. He came out with this Dr. Janet lady for Surgeon General, and well, here she is.
First of all, vaccines save lives, and I am so excited, and I thank and I commend Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg for taking action.
As a doctor, I'm concerned for safety. I'm concerned, are we going to see an uprise in back alley abortions? Am I going to see young teenagers trying to involuntarily hurt themselves by trying to self-abort their fetuses out of fear and not knowing what to do and not having alternatives?
Here's the problem. Delta is different, and that's why the American Academy of Pediatrics is recommending that if you're going to be in a classroom, in a crowded classroom, then you want to protect yourself, wear a mask. Because a lot of kids, for example, under the age of 12, they can't be vaccinated.
I know that the CDC has updated its guidelines. If you've been exposed to someone who tested positive for coronavirus and you are symptom-free after 10 days, then you are cleared to go back to work. If you are symptom-free for 7 days with a negative COVID test, then you're also free to go back to work. But the baseline remains that you should still monitor your symptoms, wear your mask, and practice social distancing.
In fairness, she has come out recently and walked away from a lot of those comments. But what does that really show? What do all those comments show? Well, when the rubber meets the road, when it was crunch time, she's a servant of the system. Believes what the system says what the system wants her to say. To have that at Surgeon General, no, it's not the end of the world, right? We can still have a secure border, a better economy. It's not the end of the world. It's a really, really, really bad pick, and there's no way around it. It's really bad, and to be honest with you, I hope the GOP Senate shoots it down. That's the truth. Marco Rubio is not a great pick. I understand why. And I'm not overly stressed about it, as I told you before, because he's going to be Secretary of State. But Marco Rubio does not align with Donald Trump on many, many things. He does not align with a lot of things. He's very much one of these neoconservative types. I have concerns there. Concerns. Not grave concerns, but I'm worried. Kristi Noem is a terrible pick for DHS. Kristi Noem sucks. She's awful. Completely weak. Had a couple benefits to her reputation, and the fact that she's hot certainly helps. But Kristi Noem's awful. But Tom Holman's going to be the border kind of immigration czar type, and let's hope he can mitigate some of that. Overall, I'm pretty happy. I will tell you right out of the gates, we looked awesome. And then it's really just kind of petered out there towards the end. But pretty decent cabinet, and certainly a lot better than what we had before. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Maybe you're just sitting there right now saying, Jesse, I'm so offended. I'm so mad at you. All that means is that your T levels are too low, all right? If you can't handle any criticisms or offensive talk, it means your T levels are low. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at yourself. Get mad at yourself for not having purchased a male vitality stack from Chalk yet. Natural herbal supplements. 20% increase in your testosterone levels in 90 days. You want to be ready to go. You want to feel like $1 million. You want to stop getting offended at TV shows. Go to chalk.com/JesseTV. Take advantage of the Black Friday special running the entire month. Huge discount, free bonus product. Go get some. We'll be back. Okay, I want to talk again about something, and we're going to come back to this a lot, an analogy I've used before, but it really applies to the system. It applies to our system we have now. I talk about them treating us like a bank vault. So let me explain. You have these bad institutions now. They haven't always been bad, but now they're institutions. They've been corrupted. The media has been corrupted. The defense industry has been corrupted. Government agency after government agency that's been corrupted. Okay, you get it. So the institutions are all corrupted, and now they work with each other, and I call it the system. But what are they really working with each other for? What's the point? What's the purpose of all this? Well, money and power. You see, if you are a powerful person, once you lose any sense of duty or obligation to your country, then what the country itself becomes is a place to be looted, a bank to be robbed. I'll use this analogy. I'll use two analogies, actually. That's probably a mistake. Me, I could, I'm the head of my household. I have a wallet with a debit card and everything in it. When I take this earpiece out of my ear tonight, there's absolutely nothing stopping me from going to the local casino and spending every single dime I have and staying up all night long drinking whiskey, blowing every dime of the kids' college fund at the poker table. Nobody can stop me. The wife cannot stop me. Kids cannot stop me. If I want to, I can go do that. Why don't I? I'm not going to go do that. Why don't I? Because I have a sense of duty to them. I feel like I have an obligation to them, so I don't. But what if I didn't feel that? What if you could just take that sense of duty and toss it? Well, then I'd be at the blackjack table. That's where our leaders are in this country. And so America to them is just a big bank vault. That's all it is. It's a big pot of money. And what do they want? They want to clean out the bank vault. They want to shovel huge quantities of the money into their own personal bank accounts. Well, they've figured out the best way to do that is if all the institutions work together. If they all work with each other instead of against each other. Hey, stop keeping me in check. Hey, don't do that. If we all just work together like a bank robbery crew, so the media, they're going to handle the getaway car, and the defense industry, they're going to do a lot of the legwork. If we all work together, then we can take everything out of the bank vault. What you're seeing right now with a bunch of Trump's picks has been very, very revealing, because the ones who are threatening the bank robbery crew with arrest, they're the ones who are subject to the most vicious smears all over the place. I'm not even a huge Tulsi Gabbard fan. Have you seen the stuff they've said?
She's a critic of U.S. intelligence operations. She has promoted Russian propaganda. Your fellow Democrat, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, called her, quote, likely a Russian asset. Now, you and Tulsi Gabbard are both veterans. You served with her in the House. What do you think of her?
Well, I think she's compromised. I think by going to Syria and basically backing brutal dictator there, Russian-controlled media called her a Russian asset. So I do think that we have a real deep concern whether or not she's a compromised person. And frankly, the U.S. Intelligence the U.S. intelligence community has identified her as having troubling relationships with America's foes. And so my worry is that she couldn't pass a background check.
Wow. The intelligence community has a big problem with Tulsi Gabbard. Oh, that's interesting. That's a United States senator right there calling her compromised. Not exactly a light accusation, is it? Especially from somebody who spent her career in the military. Of course, it's not just Democrats. Remember, you have low-T GOPers like the low-T GOP mascot, Senator Naked Ken Doll Lankford, immediately ran to the cameras and started echoing those sentiments.
Does anything about her concern you?
Well, we'll have lots of questions. She met with Bashar Assad. We'll want to know what the purpose was and what the direction for that was. As a member of Congress, we'll want to get a chance to talk about past comments that she's made and get them into full context. So, sure, there's comments that are floating out there, but we want to be able to know the rest of the story.
Oh, we're very, very concerned. Well, why all the opposition to Tulsi Gabbard? She has a very, very opposite view of foreign policy that we've currently had. But compromised? Russian asset? Well, again, this all comes down to money. Don't ever, ever, ever believe this is about freedom or Ukraine or stopping Putin or any of the other things the people on television lie to you and me about all the time, Republican and Democrat. This is all about money. And continuing the Russian-Ukrainian war means vast quantities of money and power for everyone in the system here in America. It's good television. It's good money for the media. I don't have to tell you why it's good for the defense contractors. You know why it's good for generals and admirals. No better way to get promoted and become a war hero than by having your fingers and toes in a war somewhere. It's good for American politicians who not only get campaign contributions from those defense contractors, they also get to be seen as tough and patriotic. And that's why losers like Mitch McConnell get up and they tell you the most important thing in the world is Ukraine?
Providing assistance for the Ukrainians to defeat the Russians, that's the number one priority for the United States right now, according to most Republicans. That's sort of how we see the challenges confronting the country at the moment.
Of course, what's he talking about? Whenever he said that, remember when he said that, because those comments were a little while ago, we all looked around and said, according to most Republicans, what? I mean, look, even if you're super hot on the whole Russia-Ukrainian thing, and you may be, it wouldn't be your number one issue. It might not crack the top five. So what Republicans is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the other establishment Republicans, the other members of the system. It's not only Democrats who are members of the system. They want this thing to continue forever for money. America is not some wonderful, blessed place for the in these people's eyes. It's not some place with wonderful traditions. It's not some place with wonderful people, land of the free, great history. That's how you look at America. That's how I look at America. For these people, it's just the bank vault. And I hate that. I hate these people for that. I hate that they don't feel any sense of duty to you or me or to our children or to the country we have. But they don't. No sense of duty to that at all. Those thoughts, they never even cross their mind. It would be like asking a fly its thoughts on calculus. The thoughts are just, it never enters its mind. What do they think about? Well, there's this big pot of money. Huge economy. Huge pot of taxpayer money. How can I get some of that for me? That's how the people in this country look at everything. And that's why you see such strong opposition to some of these cabinet picks who are promising reform. Oh, but the intelligence community said, oh, I'm sure they did. Anyway, we'll talk to Sarah Gonzalez about some of these cabinet picks and more. Before we get to that, save a life really quickly. Babies. Nobody speaks up for the babies. Nobody's saving lives. Except for you in preborn. You see, we want laws to save lives, and I'm fine with laws, right? We want to ban here and ban that, but the abortion pill, it's moved every home into being an abortion clinic. The average abortion clinic now is the home of a teenage girl. She does it in her bathroom. How do we fight back against evil that's so easily accessible? By giving these women free ultrasounds. When you give to preborn, that's what you're doing. That's what they do. They give these women free ultrasounds. Go buy one, buy two, buy five, I don't care. It's $28 for an ultrasound. That ultrasound is not nothing. You just saved a life. When that woman hears a heartbeat, she chooses life almost every single time. Did you know that? It's a miracle. Preborn.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Trump's new border czar, Tom Homan, has said that he is willing to arrest leaders like yourself for standing in the way of these policies that they want to enact. Would you be willing to go to jail for these things?
Yeah, I'm not afraid of that.
Yeah, he is. Yes, he is. What we're seeing here is audition season. Every time I listen to this, I was just sitting there listening, just shaking my head. This is audition season for every single scumbag communist in this country trying to get promoted, and they're all going to try to get promoted to the next gig by acting like they love the illegals so much, and we'll lay down and die for them. Joining me now, the great Sarah Gonzalez, host of Unfiltered on the Blaze TV. Hey, Sarah, tell me, you think that effeminate little dork is going to be standing in front of the tanks to protect Pedro?
That gangly soy boy is going to do nothing of the sort. Nothing of the sort. By the way, Jesse, I do notice that you have the Gonzalez on to talk about illegal immigration. I don't think that's a coincidence.
No, look, I wanted to make sure we were being respectful in every way. I understand that you didn't cross the border crossed you, Sarah, that's all.
Yeah, no, it's just, it is so funny. You're right, it is audition season, and that's what you're seeing with this little this little guy, gangly guy. He's not going to do anything. And the fact of the matter is, honestly, I wish that he would. I hope that all of these people, you've got him in Denver, you've got the Massachusetts governor, I hope that these people actually do what they say they're going to do. Because you know what? If you want to open up your state, you want to open up Denver, we can have all 10 million, 12 million, if you believe the conservative estimates, which I don't. I think it's way higher, who came in during Joe Biden's tenure. We'll send all 10 million to your town and you can figure out how to deal with it, because we're cleaning up the rest of the streets here in this country. I hope that they do that, because they would soon realize something that you and I know, that they both already know. But if they hadn't realized it, they would very soon realize it's unsustainable, which is why all of them have to go, which is what we've seen in New York and Chicago and all these places. They're like, actually, the inn is full. We're out of room. So I wish that they actually did this, but we both know that they're not going to.
Sarah, I'm asking you to do an impossible task, but let's walk through the mind of the American communist. Let's say you are a communist and you live in Denver, and of course you go down and you vote Democrat every single time. I have to vote Democrat. But when you're sitting there and you're watching your city that, gosh, Denver used to be the sickest city. I don't know if you've ever had any fun there.
Yeah.
I certainly have. And yeah. Now it's just this dump, this homeless, infested, crime-ridden dump. And even if you are some born and bred commie, how are you not outraged that your mayor is publicly proclaiming that he's going to protect all the dirt balls that have destroyed your city? Do you think this is the kind of thing that moves these people?
Well, and that's what we're seeing full circle. All of this is happening in full circle, that you're seeing all of these people who, as you point out, think, you know, oh, I'm a good little commie, I'm going to vote Democrat. Well, here is the revelation that they're faced with. Your policies have led to this decision. And at a certain point, you would think that they would have to reflect. They're going to have to reflect at a certain point when they look around at the Lake and Rileys of the country and they look around them and go, oh, we're actually not safe. You cannot sustain this policy. We have to clean up our streets. We have to clean up the crime. And so at a certain point, they're going to realize and be faced with the ramifications of their own decisions. You would think, but again, I can't be in their minds and I'm not quite that stupid. So I'm not sure if they ever get to that point, but you would think a reasonable, common sense person, even someone who was, you know, misguided with their political beliefs, would have to eventually realize at a certain point in this disaster that they have to have a course correct. And at a certain point, you'd think that this mayor or whoever is going to be held accountable. But I wasn't voting. I wasn't dumb enough to vote for them in the first place. So what do I know?
Sarah, what are you cooking for Thanksgiving? Are you, traditional turkey type or enchiladas or something? What do you make for Thanksgiving?
In my Mexican family, they do tamales. We do turkey and ham. Listen, you would die if you tried my grandmother's tamales. They are wonderful. And that's a Thanksgiving and Christmas tradition. It's turkey and ham and the traditional American Thanksgiving.
Gosh, there's this tamale truck right by where I work. And it looks like you're going to get kidnapped. But there's a line around the block because there's these three little old Mexican ladies in their home making the best friggin' tamales you've ever had in your life in the green sauce. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, Sarah, let's talk about Donald Trump's cabinet picks. Some have been awesome. Some have just been a steaming hot pile of crap. Mm-hmm. Which ones do you like? Which ones don't you like?
Yeah, well, I got to be honest with you. I was very disappointed that Ken Paxton here in the state of Texas was not nominated for the AG after Matt. First of all, I thought before Matt Gaetz, then after the Matt Gaetz debacle, I thought, okay, now's the time that he's going to nominate Ken. And that didn't end up happening. And instead, there was a Pam Bondi who I'm really not sold on. She's made some very questionable comments about the Second Amendment that I have concerns about. So I'm concerned about that one. I'm concerned about the Surgeon General, Dr. Jeanette. She has also made some questionable comments during the COVID era that I think that she definitely needs to answer for. So I do have some concerns. I'm very excited about RFK. I'm very excited about Dave Weldon. So the CDC, the FDA, Dr. Marty Makary, I'm very, very excited about those, especially when it comes to making America healthy again, which I've been a firm believer in for a very long time, before even we were talking about this mainstream. So I'm excited about those picks. But you point out, and correctly so, it seems like a very big disconnect, because he'll get some so right, and then he turns around and makes a total opposite decision, and you go, wait a second, how do all of these align? It seems to be, a little bit I don't know, concerning Linda McMahon, Department of Education. I can't figure that one out either. I don't think that she really wants to abolish the Department of Education, which is what we were sold. So, I mean, listen, I want to trust the plan. I'm just proceeding with caution, but I'm very excited about the Department of Government Efficiency if they do what they say they're going to do, which is, of course, another concern.
Well, let's talk about that, as a matter of fact. I'm very excited about it, too. In fact, many of my friends are texting me. That's the thing they're most excited about, more than Hegseth, more than any of it. And I'll be honest, I fall in love easy with people who say they want to chop the government because I hate the freaking government. So when I hear you're going to fire a bunch of government employees, I'm all in. But it's easier said than done. Should we be tempering our expectations here?
I mean, look, I think that we have a right. We deserve to expect really great results here because that's what they've sold us. And if Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, want to stand on a stage knowing that they are going to be seen by millions of people and tell them we are cutting this much of the government, you know, what was it Elon Musk said, a third? We are cutting this much government. We are going to deliver results for the American people. I think that we're correct to expect that they are going to follow through on that. Now, I think in any other administration, we should maybe temper our expectations, temper our concerns. But this was a mandate. This election was a mandate that the American people said. I mean, you're showing this footage here. These people were on fire with these men coming up and talking about these things that we all know need to be done. So I think if there were ever a time in our history, in our country, when we could expect that they will do it, I think it would be this administration. And to your point, if it doesn't happen during this administration, if it doesn't happen with the, 18 months that they say that they have, which I do think, obviously, it will need to go longer. If it doesn't happen, it never will. So this is our one chance. We just have to get it right.
Do you think the American public, we touched on this a little earlier, do you think the American public is ready for not mass deportations? I think in and of itself, they are ready for that. But are they ready for the propaganda campaign that's going to just double barrel blast away at them? Sarah, you already see it beginning. What about the women? What about the kids? We're separating families. Lupe's really sad. You know the propaganda is going to be overwhelming.
Oh, Lupe, it was nice of you to mention my aunt. But so I do agree with you that there is going to be a certain amount of the general public who, when polled right now in this moment, they say, yes, we need mass deportations. Now, when that starts actually happening, it feels icky, right? I don't like the pictures. It makes me feel bad. I'm uncomfortable. And I do think that you are going to see a little bit of the general public shift in their perception of this. But that is when the Trump administration needs to stand firm and they need to remind people anytime you get the optics, anytime you get, you know, a little kid crying because their criminal dad is being hauled away, taken back to Venezuela or Mexico or wherever the hell he came from. I do think that it's important to remind all of these people who are watching. I'm uncomfortable with it too, right? If you're Donald Trump, you say, I'm uncomfortable with it too. I don't like it either. It feels bad. That's why you should remember that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris brought us to this point, and we have no choice now but to clean it up. And so I do think that they just need to be prepared for that. I hope that it doesn't dissuade them or deter them because, as you mentioned, I mean, it's a must. We have to have this, and we have to have someone who really doesn't give a crap about the blowback. We got to get it done. And then once it's over and we've deported all the criminals, start with the criminals first, right? We've deported all the criminals, and then he can say, I've just made America safer. I'm sorry that it was uncomfortable for you, but you guys will be safer. Your children will be safer and more prosperous now that we've done the dirty work that needed to be done thanks to Joe Biden.
No doubt. I think we should start with the kids. Let's get this society cleaned up. Sarah, thank you so much. I appreciate you, as always. All right. We have a lot of trainees in the military. I'm not just talking about the Army. We have to get them out. Donald Trump says he's going to get them out. Let's find out next. Before we do that, let's talk about sleeping. I sleep like a baby every night. And it's not because I'm on this perfect sleep schedule. I'm 43 years old with kids. Nobody is. It's because whenever I think I might not have a good night's sleep, I reach for Dream Powder from Beam. And previously, when I've told you about Beam, because you know it's natural, you wake up and you feel great. That's the difference. But when I've told you about Beam before, I told you mine was always cinnamon chocolate. I think it's cinnamon cocoa, they call it. It's delicious. They have some new flavors out, like brownie batter, white chocolate peppermint. It's so friggin' good. Only it'll put you to sleep. It's a cup of hot chocolate that'll put you to sleep well every night. You want up to 40% off? Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
We must set our sights higher and focus on intentional inclusivity, because there are still far too many people out there, not just LGBTQ individuals, that feel marginalized, shut out, or discriminated against. So for all of you out there, I ask you to set out your symbols of pride, share your pronouns in your email, particularly if you're a person who doesn't think they need to. Initiate difficult conversations about racial and gender barriers, and share a bit of your vulnerability in a way that draws others in. You all have the power to take intentionally inclusive actions to ensure the multiple perspectives that we know make us stronger as we devise winning warfighting strategies get heard.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh. I know it's immature. It's never going to stop being funny to me. I can't get over it. The dude who's such an obvious dude throws on some earrings and he gets up there. This is how we do the war fighting. you're supposed, as a normal human being, you're just supposed to accept this alternate reality he lives in, where he pretends to be a woman now, and then you also have to pretend he's a woman. And now when it comes to the military, not only do you have to pretend he's a woman, you have to pretend that having a mentally ill freak like that in the military doesn't actually hurt military readiness. It's just that the world of pretend is just too much for me. Joining me now, former Green Beret and president of the World Strat Solutions, my friend Jim Hansen. Jim, it just makes me laugh every time. I know I'm immature, but I can't stop snickering. I'm sorry. It's hilarious.
You're not immature. Who's immature? The guy in a dress trying to convince us that he's a woman is immature. And then people thinking that you and I and anyone else who takes reality seriously has to play along with their delusional fantasies. It's unhealthy for a society, for a culture, and certainly for a military that needs our best and brightest. That's not it.
It's not it. And we're hearing, I should note, and it's being widely reported, so I can at least put that little disclaimer on it, that Trump is going to give all the trannies the heave-ho when he gets into the military, which honestly begs the question, Jim, how many of these people are in the military now? I'm not that old, and there were none when I was in.
Yeah, it's not a lot. So we're fortunate about that. And they've had a disproportionate impact on the readiness of the military by forcing everyone to go ahead and play these games. So I think you can make the case that there is whatever type of mental issue that makes them unfit for service. This is gonna go to the Supreme Court, and we're gonna find out. You know, it's not something that I think that is just gonna happen and then the left's gonna give up. This has been their hobby horse for a while. So we're gonna have a scrap about it in the courts.
Jim, is Pete Hegseth going to get through? I'm hearing some fairly good things from some pretty weenie senators who like his military service. Of course, they dig up an old police report where he wasn't charged with anything, but the Senate is where good people go to not get confirmed, clearly. What's the story with Hegseth?
He's going to get confirmed. There's some work to do. You know, he's got some meetings. They'll be talking about things. I mean, aside from that garbage in California, which I'm sorry, if you go on a booty call and your husband catches you, you don't get to take the next sec def out with you. So that will go away. But you've got the issue of women in combat is going to be another one for him. He has said that he wants to change that policy. That's another one that I think if it gets changed will probably go through the courts, because the left's not going to give up on it. But Pete is actually, he's a Warriors sec def in waiting. And we're all of us, you and me and all our friends, are salivating at the idea of having an actual warrior in charge again. But he's also a very strategic thinker. And I think as more senators meet with him, they're finding that out.
Jim, Marco Rubio, I'm not a Rubio fan. I don't hate him like I hate James Lankford or some dork like that, but I've always been very, very on Marco Rubio. Secretary of State is not a small position. That's a very, very big boy position. What do you make of this?
Hey, I'm kind of with you. He's been kind of meh to me. You know, I mean, Trump dogged him as little Marco, you know, back in the day when he was beating up on the dwarves in the 2016 campaign. But I think of all the people who got talked about for that, he's probably the most diplomatic, and it's the State Department. You know, they make their money doing formalized lying and formal wear while nibbling Pettit fours and sipping mint tea by the pool. I'm pretty sure he can pull that off.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he can pull that off. What do we make of the rest of the team? Gorka, Michael Waltz, yeah. He's one of you snake eater types. What do we make of these guys?
Trump's got, I mean, you know, Trump 1.0 was the peacetime cabinet. This is the wartime cabinet, and he's hiring pipe hitters. I could not be more pleased with the vast majority of them. Some of the stuff in HHS and Surgeon General stuff, I could care less about. You know, they're not going to tell me what drugs to take. They can't make me. But the ones that matter to me, and I think to the country, are all committed America First MAGA types who are going to go in with the mission of dismantling the deep state and bringing this bureaucracy to heel. I'm pretty happy about that.
What do we do about that State Department? Rubio is going to be the head of it now. And as you are well aware, a lot of our problems within this government originate right there in the Department of the State.
Yeah, it's enemy territory, I think. Of all of the agencies in the swamp, that is the swampiest one. And I think you're going to have a hard time. But one of the things I've heard is that they're going to be much less concerned about firing people who are obstructing the mission, because an empty chair is better than an enemy inside your building. So I think to the extent they can move these people out and they know who they are, they get the heave-ho. You know, you pull up a moving truck full of legal boxes, pack your stuff, get out, and we're going to get about the business of making the world remember that America is the exceptional nation and toughest guy on the block.
How hard is it to identify the bad guys within these departments for the Trump administration, Jim? People don't understand the inner workings of how this works with the president, the Department of the State. Obviously, the dirty commie who intends to kneecap you and get you impeached again is not going to wear a T-shirt saying as much the day you introduce yourself to him. Do we know who the people are? Are they all bad?
I mean, there's an element of they're all bad, but they're not all bad. What you have to do is there are trusted insiders who have kept their heads down and managed to stay. And there are also people who have been working in conjunction with this. You know, it's only been 4 years since we had our people in there. So they know who the worst people were then. A lot of them are still around. And they can figure it out pretty quickly. And the trusted insiders can make lists. And we go down those lists and you start at the worst and start moving them out. And then you get about the business that America voted to have Donald Trump conduct on our behalf.
No doubt. Jim, thank you so much. I appreciate it, brother. All right. We have Light in the Mood. Next. All right. It's time to Light in the Mood. And I'm just gonna put it out there. If you've watched this show for any length of time, you've heard me talk about this before, but it's Thanksgiving week. We're all excited. We're gonna gather with family and be thankful and pray about things. But I'm praying for you this year. I want you to know that. I'm praying that you will upgrade your life and stop eating garbage turkey for Thanksgiving. You see, turkey sucks. And you know it sucks. I know you're yelling at the TV, I haven't had my bacon wrapped. We'll get to that in a moment. But the truth is, it's obvious the things people like and don't like. No matter what they say, you can't ever listen to this. You have to watch what they do. If I get one of the little assortment things of little mini candy bars, you've seen those. And I put them in a big bowl and let's say I set it up at the front desk of the office. Here, you've seen this before. What's going to be the last thing in every single candy bowl? Every single time. The Three Musketeers. Every time. Everyone knows Three Musketeers sucks. Everyone, when you say that, though, they'll say, no, I like them. No, they're pretty good. Really? Here's a candy bowl. Oh, let me sort past the Three Musketeers. When it comes to turkey, you eat out at restaurants, do you not? Of course you do. You eat out at restaurants. Now, depending on your financial situation or where you live, maybe you eat out 5 times a year, 10 times a year. Maybe you're an eat-out freak and you eat out 100 times a year, but you do eat out. How many times a year do you walk in a restaurant and there's a menu? All kinds of items. That's the whole point of being in a restaurant. You can pick whatever you want. And she can have the this and he can have the that and he gets the spaghetti. How many times have you walked in a restaurant and ordered turkey? Ever? I'm not talking about your turkey sub at Subway. I mean, you sat down and ordered turkey. Oh, you haven't? Why not? Because it sucks. And because when you have options, you never, ever, ever pick the turkey. The only reason you eat turkey at Thanksgiving is because that's the only freaking thing they prepared. And if you don't eat it, you'll starve to death. Level up your life. You want to know what I'm eating for Thanksgiving? You have to go subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/@JesseKellyDC. I not only tell you, I show you. Anyway, I'll see you tomorrow.